no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This week on the Relic Radio Show, our hour of radio drama begins with Big Town. We'll hear A Date with Death, their story from January 18, 1949. After that, it's Stars Over Hollywood and The Long Way Home, their story from June 21, 1952.
Lever Brothers Company, makers of Lifebuoy Health Soap, present Big Town.
All right, get going, Wilson. Start walking across the lake. Step down on the ice.
Listen, chick, this ice won't hold the three of us.
This gun says get going, Wilson. Come on, Vi.
Break away from him, Miss Ruff.
You slug!
No, chick, no!
Yes, listen to A Date with Death, the headline newspaper story of Steve Wilson, fighting editor of the Big Town Illustrated Press. Listen to this timely story of juvenile delinquency that had its beginning on a drab street on the south side of Big Town as a young girl unknowingly kept a date with death.
Chick, is that you?
Yeah, it's me, Vi. All right, hop in a heap, honey. We're going to make a killing tonight.
No, wait a minute, Chick.
What for? Are you scared, baby?
Yes. But I need money, bad.
Who don't?
I mean, a lot of money to send Johnny away before he dies of that terrible cough.
Well, let's go and get it. I got three places cased for a sticker.
Where?
Well, the first is down on the waterfront. It'll be a cinch as a warmer-upper.
All right. But, Chick, are you sure you can go through with it? Not lose your head?
Now, don't you worry, Vi, baby. I learned all the tricks of the trade and reform. And this gun will scare the dough out of the customers.
That's what I mean, Chick, that gun.
What about it?
I need money bad, but I don't want to be the cause of anyone getting hurt, killed. You promised you wouldn't load the gun.
Sure, I promised. And the rod's empty. All right, get in the car and get under the wheel. You're going to drive and leave the rest to me.
All right, but wait. Whose car is this?
I borrowed it.
You mean stole it?
Nah, some dope left his keys in it. We'll ditch it when we're done. The cops will find it and give it back to him in the morning.
But won't the police be looking for it?
Sure. In a couple of hours. But I switched the license plates. Will you quit worrying? I told you I know all the tricks of the trade. Now get in, honey.
Why? Violet.
Johnny.
Oh, wait a minute.
Johnny, get back in the house. You'll catch your death out here without a coat.
Well, that don't matter.
It does. You know what happens when you get a cold. Now, please go in.
No, I heard you talking. I know why you're gone out with this rat. I don't want that gun to help. I'd rather hack myself to death.
Now, don't be a dope, Johnny. You got a rotten break with them bum pair of lungs. We're going to get some dough so you can go where you can even the odds.
You shut up, Malone. Get out of here with that hot heap and leave my sister out of your crazy stick-up plans. Go on, beat it, you rat.
All right, cut it out, you dope. Get back in your basement or I'll slug you.
Please, Johnny. I know what I'm doing.
No, you don't.
Chicks promise nobody will get hurt.
That's what they all say. Every rat with a gun. You're not gone with him.
Please, Johnny, please go back in the house.
All right, get in the car, Vi. I'll take him back in the flat. Make him see it our way. Come on, Johnny boy.
Let go of me. Let go of my arm.
Please, Johnny, stay home. Wait for me.
No, Vi, don't get in that car.
Oh. All right, Johnny boy. Now down the stairs into your clammy basement joint, and I'll show you how it's going to be.
Let go. You ain't dragging my sister into no jam. Reform school, prison. I'd rather die. I'd rather be dead.
Sure, now you just hold still. Now hold still, Johnny, till I get this door open.
I won't. I ain't going with you.
Hold still, you hear me? Now listen, you dope. I got us all planned. I need a dame to drive in front and cover for.
Not my sister. Not Vi.
Yes, Vi. And just to make sure you don't gum up the works, you got to stay right here till we get back.
Oh.
Vi, you stay under the wheel. Keep the motor going for a quick getaway.
But, Chick, why pick a waterfront joint like this Harbor Cafe?
Because it's usually deserted this early in the evening. And because a piano-thumping dope called Mozart runs it. He's alone after the dock workers go home, leaving a couple of $100 in the cash register.
Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. Told you, I cased this dump. just sort of practice for a couple of big jobs that get lined out in the suburbs for later tonight.
All right, but be careful, Chick. If he puts up a fight, let it go. Run for it. I'll get us away from here.
All right, Fry. You just stay out of the wheel, huh? Keep the motor going. Keep the jalopy in gear for a getaway.
All right, Chick. I'll be waiting.
All right, just keep on playing, sucker. Make like I'm a music-loving customer.
What'll you have, fella?
Dough. All the dough in a till, and don't turn around.
There isn't enough dough in the world, much less in my cash register, to make me want to argue with a gun in my back.
Good. Go on, keep on beating out the blues.
Yeah, sure. How about the jailhouse blues?
All right, cut the musical wisecracks or I'll blast you for laughs.
Okay. But you'll need a sense of humor when you open that cash register behind the bar.
Yeah? How come? You taking plenty when the dockers bend a few on the way home?
Yeah, but I cash some of their paychecks and you can't. Checks. That's all there is in the till.
You're a liar.
Liar? You're a dope.
Go on, keep playing. I'll sleep myself.
Sure, sure, but you scare me. Makes a guy's throat dry to have a gun jabbed in his back. Mind if I have a swing of suds out of that stein at the end of the keyboard?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. And then play me I Got Plenty of Plenty while I tip the till.
Sure. You're a... welcome to any cash you can find. But I don't like being called a liar.
You tricky slug. You slug. You blinded me with that beer mug. I can't see. I can't see.
Steve, anything on the hook for your wondrous girl reporter?
Not a thing, Lorelei, at the moment. But come in, my lovely.
Thanks.
Perch on the corner of the desk of management and take my mind off this doggone paperwork.
Okay. But you could have stayed a reporter or feature writer, you know.
Well, somebody's got to be the goat. Alias, managing editor.
No, but you still jump every time a five alarm goes in the city room, and then there's your anti-crime campaigns just to keep you from getting bored.
Yes, and not so incidentally... we're starting a new one against a different kind of criminal.
Oh?
A reckless driver. The killer at the wheel.
Good. Let me in on that one.
Okay, we're going to try a different approach. We're going after the driver who's had minor collisions, but has never had a serious accident.
Well, there's sure plenty of those on the road.
Yes, and all the more dangerous, Lorelei, because he doesn't believe he's a reckless driver.
Uh-oh. The private wired your underworld listening post your own five alarm.
Yes, I'm expecting a tip on that South Side police killing. Hello, Steve Wilson, Illustrated Press.
Hi, Steve. Mozart. Got a minute for a laugh?
Sure thing, Mozart. There was a matter. You sound kind of feeble.
Kind of feeble-minded, Steve.
Well, how so?
A punk kid tried to practice his stick-up technique on me in my cash register.
Now, hold up. What's happened?
Well, I told the kid there was no cash in the register, and he called me a liar. I cocked him with a beer stein, and he opened me up with lead.
Where'd he hit you, Mozart? Have you called a doctor and notified the police?
Through the shoulder, Steve. Clean and hot as a poker. I lost some plasma the blood bank ought to have, but an ambulance intern just finished patching me up while I gave the law the lowdown on the kid.
You recognize him?
No, but I marked him up. Heard him say I blinded him.
Blinded him?
Yeah. Cops are on the prowl, but I think he got clean away in a car waiting outside.
Got any ideas we might follow up, Mozart?
Yeah, Steve. More than an idea.
Well, let's have it.
Well, another kid came in a few minutes ago.
Another kid?
Yeah, just after the cop and the ambulance left. Well, he says his sister may have been driving the getaway car.
A girl driver, good grief.
Well, the kid's lung sick and scared. He says his sister got mixed up with a rat to get money to send him away. He won't talk to the cops, Steve, but he might talk to you.
Keep him there, Mozart. I'll be right down on the double. You get that, Laureline?
Yes, enough of it, Steve. Gee, it sounds awful.
Yes, the tragedy of good motives and bad methods.
Well, Steve, that girl may be in really serious trouble before this is finished.
Yes, let's go see what we can do.
Thus, Steve Wilson and Lorelei take steps to help a sick boy and his misguided sister. And for the exciting developments, we'll return in a moment. Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, get skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Here's what the doctors proved in 820 scientific tests.
People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors compared the results. They found that Lifebuoy does more than just remove the grime and perspiration you can see. Lifebuoy is more effective than any other leading soap against the invisible dirt you never see. The cleaner you get your skin, the surer you are of being fresh and attractive. Doctors say that Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient makes the difference, and it makes Lifebuoy milder, too.
Yes, safe even for babies' tender skin.
No wonder Lifebuoy today is used in the homes of 40 million Americans. They like its mildness, its rich lather, its greater protection. Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, get skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. So bathe with Lifebuoy every day. Get the big new bath size. Buy Lifebuoy right away. Now back to Big Town and to Steve Wilson's headline story of juvenile crime captioned, A Date with Death. Learning that his friend Mozart has been wounded in an attempted robbery at the Harbor Cafe, Steve and Lorelei Kilbourne are on the way from the Illustrated Press office. Meanwhile, Mozart is at his inevitable piano, talking to a boy who may have vital information about the crime.
What's your last name, Johnny?
I won't tell you. You'll just tell the cops and they'll grab my sister for being with the rat who shot you.
Well, you'll have to know sooner or later, kid. And if she teamed up with that louse to get money to send you away to get rid of that cough, a judge will go easy.
Maybe. Who's this newspaper guy you say will help us?
Steve Wilson of the Illustrated Press. But, kid, nobody can help your sister if you don't come clean and tell us where we can find the gun-toting slug she was driving tonight.
Well, I don't know for sure.
Well, make a good guess, kid. Here's Steve and Miss Kilbourne, one of his crime reporters. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Mozart.
Hello, Mozart.
Hi, Lorelei.
How's your shoulder wound?
Oh, not bad. I can play with one hand, but I can't manage beer at the same time. Oh, meet Johnny No Name.
Hello, Johnny. I'm so sorry your sister is mixed up in this mess.
Well, the rat promised Vi he wouldn't carry a loaded gun. I begged her not to go. I tried to stop her, but he slugged me.
Take it easy, Johnny. Let's have the facts, and perhaps we can help you and your sister.
Well, how do I know you won't go straight to the cops or print everything in your newspaper?
You don't, Johnny. And the police will have to know. But this isn't just a matter of keeping your sister out of trouble over an unsuccessful stick-up, Johnny.
Huh? What do you mean?
Look, Johnny, her companion may think he killed Mozart. Your sister would be a material witness. It's obvious she isn't a hardened criminal, and he may feel he has to shut her up to keep her quiet.
You mean kill her? Kill Vi?
Yes, why not? If he thinks he has killed one person, he would have nothing to lose in killing the one other person who could place him at the scene of the crime, Johnny.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
So who is this trigger-happy fool? Where can we find him, Johnny? What's his name?
His name is Chick Malone.
Malone.
He got out of reform school last month. I met him at a party. I don't know where he lives.
Where does he usually hang out, Johnny? Where would he go to keep undercover?
He said he was coming back to our flat, but they didn't come. I was waiting when I heard about the shooting down here over the radio.
I must have cut him up pretty bad with that beer stein, Steve. I heard him yell I'd blinded him after he hit me with that one shot and staggered out.
Well, that could mean he'd have to make your sister drive him to a safe place where he could lay low until his face healed up. Now, think hard, Johnny. It may mean your sister's life.
I don't know. Wait a minute, Mr. Wilson. I did hear him telling Vi about a cabin out of town.
A cabin out of town?
Yeah, on a lake.
What lake, Johnny? Think. Try to remember. That would be the kind of hideout he'd need now.
It was lost? No, long... Lone Lake.
Steve, I know that place. It's about 20 miles out, half a dozen summer cottages. Two sisters were murdered there. I covered it.
Yes, it's a long shot, but our best bet.
Let me go with you, Mr. Wilson.
Well, not in this weather, not without a hat and coat.
Here, take mine, Kate.
Oh, please, Mr. Wilson.
All right, Johnny, we may need you. Let's go.
What is this place, Chick?
It better be my pal Monk's hideout in Lone Lake if you drove where I told you.
I did just what you told me. Made every turn, and please let go of my arm and take that gun out of my side.
Not a chance, baby. As long as I can't see, I'm holding on to you. If you try to get away, I'll let you have it, same as I did that Mozart punk.
Why did you lie to me, Chick? You said that gun wasn't loaded.
Sure. Because I was sure you wouldn't come along if you knew I was carrying a loaded gun. I needed you to drive and make it look like we're a couple of moonspooners. Now I need you till I'm able to see again.
What's the good of coming to this cabin? You ought to see a doctor. You're liable to be blind for the rest of your life.
I'll get a doc when the heat's off, one I can trust. Meanwhile, you're going to be my eyes, baby. All right, now get out of the car. Let's get in the cabin and start a fire. Come on.
It's crazy, Chick. It's cold and dark and we didn't bring any food.
There's cans of stuff in the cabin. Come on, lead the way. If you park where I told you, there's a path to the shack. It's right on the edge of the lake.
It's right over there. The lake looks frozen.
Yeah, this lake's right on the state line. If anybody trails us here, we can cross over the... Hey. You gotta be at the cabin by now.
It's right here. There's a padlock on the door.
All right, we'll look at the key. Don't try to run for it, baby.
Don't worry. I wouldn't leave a dog out here alone, blind and helpless as you are.
It ain't help as long as I got this gun. All right. Here's the key. Now get that lock open. Let's get inside and get a fire going.
All right. But, Chick, how do you know you killed that piano player at the Harbor Cafe? You said you couldn't see a thing after he hit you on the temple with that beer stein.
It was so close I couldn't have missed. I heard it go down on the keyboard. And there wasn't a yap out of him.
But maybe he only wounded him.
No, not with this .38. Come on now, inside. Should be matches and candles on a table in the middle of the room. Light them.
Let go of my arm, Chick. I told you I won't run away and leave you like this.
I ain't trusting nobody but this gun. Keep close to me, baby. All right, light a candle.
All right, Chick. But a light can't matter much to you.
That's what you think. Maybe I'm beginning to be able to see a little already. I can't see you yet, but I could see the light of that candle.
Then it was only the shock of getting hit on the temple that blinded you.
Yeah, so get a fire going on the stove.
All right, Chick. But when you get your sight back, please let me go. I've got to get back to Johnny. He's really desperately ill.
Yeah, sure, baby. When I get my peepers back, I'll send you on your way.
Promise, Chick. Not the way you promised you wouldn't carry a loaded gun. Promise.
Yeah, sure, Vi, I promise. You won't have a thing to worry about.
Say, boss, Miss Kilbine.
Say it, Harry, but watch for that sign pointing to the Lone Lake cottages.
Oh, it ought to be right along here. I remember from the time I hacked you up here to cover that story of the two ladies who hacked each other up with hatchets.
Oh, I'd rather forget that assignment, wouldn't you, Steve?
Yes, it's one of those things that make you wish you'd never heard of the newspaper business.
How will we find the right cabin, Mr. Wilson? Chick Malone made by drive him here.
Well, there are only half a dozen cabins, Johnny, on a road skirting the lake. If they're here, we'll spot the car near one of them.
Here it is, boss. Do we drive all the way in or park and walk?
Can you drive without lights, Harry?
Yeah, I think so. The fresh snow makes everything pretty light. Hey, tire tracks. A car has been in here since it stopped snowing.
That means tonight. Cut your lights and drive slowly, Harry.
The cabins are only a short way off the main road, Steve.
Yes, this is far enough. Stop here, Harry.
Check, boss.
There's a cabin, Mr. Wilson. Over there in the woods on the left.
Yes. But no sign of a light.
I can see the lake through the trees on the right. Looks frozen over, boss.
Well, the ice can't be very solid, Harry. We haven't had enough cold weather.
Steve, over there, look.
Where, Lola?
The third cabin. I just saw sparks coming out of the chimney. There they are again.
You're right. That cabin is occupied, and the regular summer people don't come up here this time of year. Your guests may have been right, Johnny.
What are we going to do, Steve?
Harry?
Yep, what?
There's a gas station on the main road about 100 yards from where we turned in.
Yeah, and it was open.
Run back there and phone the state troopers. Give them the whole story and ask them to send a patrol car here as quickly as possible.
Check, boss. And I'll ring the law in on this on the double-double.
Oh, what are we going to do, Steve? Just wait?
No. Stay here in the hack with Johnny, Lorna. I'm going to go over to that cabin and scout around.
Let me go with you, Mr. Wilson. My sister...
No, Johnny. Stay in the hack. You keep as warm as you can. I'll come back and get you if I need your help.
Now, please be careful, Steve. That young hoodlum is armed, and he must be pretty desperate.
Yes, Lorelei, and that's why we've got to get Johnny's sister out of that cabin before the troopers have to blast him out with Tommy guns. Now, stay here, Lorelei, and keep Johnny here. In the hack.
What's that by?
Put down that gun, Chick. It's only the wind banging shut.
Shut up. Maybe, maybe not. Thought I heard a car out in the lane a while ago.
You've been hearing things ever since we got here.
Yeah. So when a guy can't see, ain't got anything else to do but listen. Listen and feel things. I got a notion of somebody prowling around outside, a case in this dump.
What does it matter, Chick? The police followed us, they'll surround the cabin and get you. You're helpless. You can't see.
I can see enough to empty this rod on anybody that crashes in here.
Why? What good will that do?
Listen, if they're after me, it means that Mozart guy is dead. He ain't taking me to burn in the chair.
He'll be after you whether Mozart is dead or not.
Listen, you got it wrong, baby. Not just me. They'll be after you and me. You're in this, baby. In it to the finish.
You lied to me. You said you wouldn't carry a gun. I know even that was wrong, but you lied to me.
Sure, baby, you are a dope. I needed you. And I still need you. So shut up and do as you're told.
Chick, you're going to kill me. I know that now. No matter what happens, you're going to kill me to keep me from talking.
Don't make up my mind for me ahead of time, baby. Behave yourself or you'll get it now. Shut up. There is somebody out there. Get your coat on, kid.
Why? What are you going to do?
We're going to get out of here.
Where?
Going to lamb across the lake, across the ice, out of the city.
No, Chick, I won't leave here. I won't go with you.
Get your coat on, baby. Get it on or else.
Chick!
Shut up.
Hello, McCallum. Can I come in? I lost my way.
Chick, what are you going to do?
Open the door. Let him in.
Why get him in here?
So he ain't gonna leave and tell anybody we're here. Open the door, let him in.
Let go of my arm.
Like nothing. You pull away from me and I'll blast you and him. Now open that door and step back.
All right.
Come on in, mister.
Thanks. You can put away that gun. I'm not a stick-up artist.
Close the door and bolt it, mister.
Sure. Thanks for letting me come in. I was cold.
All right, mister. Who's with you?
I'm all alone. Why?
Good. Move over to the light where I can see you.
See you? There's plenty of light in this cabin. What's the matter with your eyes?
He can hardly see at all.
Shut up, baby.
Oh. Then you are his eyes, miss.
Yes, he's been hurt.
Shut up! Just keep your coat on, mister. You and Vi are going to play like a couple of C&I dogs. You're going to lead me over the ice. Across the lake.
Thus, Steve has deliberately walked into a deadly situation. And for the 5-star payoff, we'll return in a moment. Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, get skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Here's what the doctors proved in 820 scientific tests.
People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors compared the results. They found that Lifebuoy does more than just remove the grime and perspiration you can see. Lifebuoy is more effective than any other leading soap against the invisible dirt you never see. The cleaner you get your skin, the surer you are of being fresh and attractive. Doctors say that Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient makes the difference. And it makes Lifebuoy milder, too.
Yes, safe even for babies' tender skin.
No wonder Lifebuoy today is used in the homes of 40 million Americans. They like its mildness, its rich lather, its greater protection. Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, get skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. So bathe with Lifebuoy every day. Get the big new bath size. Buy Lifebuoy right away. Now, Now, back to Big Town and to Steve Wilson's tense and timely drama of juvenile crime captioned A Date with Death.
All right, Wilson, so you're the racket-busting newspaper slug of the press.
Yes.
You plays palsy-walsy with the cops,
That's
aren't
right,
you?
Chick.
You called the troopers, huh? We ain't gonna be here, friend. Come on.
You'll never make it across the lake, Malone.
No, why not?
The ice is too thin to carry one person, let alone three, walking close together, as we must, if we're to lead you.
Give it up, Chick. Even if you got across the lake into another state, you're still so blind you can hardly see. You'll be helpless.
Not as long as I got this gun to make you dopes do like I say. You're gonna be my eyes till we get to some pals who'll hide me out. All right, come on. Get going. Out the front door and down to the lake. All right, open that door, Wilson.
All right, Chick. I'll lead you by the arm.
No, you don't, Wilson. I'll turn around. Just keep in front of me or I can keep this gun on your back.
Okay.
Come on, bye, baby. Try and break my hold on your arm and I'll plug Wilson. I'll walk down to the dock, Wilson. It's only a few feet from here.
We'll never make it across the lake. Give it up, Chick. We'll break through the ice. Drown.
Shut up. Come on. Come on. Try getting away from me and I'll let Wilson have it in the back.
All right, Chick. Here's the end of the dock. It's one step down to the ice. But it looks thin and cracked.
Try it. Put your weight on it.
Chick, it's your last chance to turn back. To hand over that gun, give yourself up, and take your chances with the law.
Nothing doing. Get going.
Don't, Chick. Mr. Wilson says you only wounded Mozart.
He's lying to save his own hide. Now get going, Wilson. Step down on the ice. Put your weight on it.
All right. Break away from him, Miss West.
You slug!
All right. That'll be all out of that gun, Chick.
Help me. I can't see. I'll drown.
You won't drown in 3 feet of water. That's all there is. Stop struggling. Hold still.
Mr. Wilson, can I help you?
No, Miss West. I can get him up out of the shallow water onto the dock.
You rat. You slug. I'll get you for this.
It'll be a long time before you'll have a chance. Come on, Chick. Back to the cabin before we both freeze.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Wilson. I know I don't deserve your help after what I did, but thank you.
Now, let's leave that to a judge and jury, Miss West. I think that there are a great many things that will be taken into account.
Steve, is that you?
Yes, Lorelei. Oh. Where's Johnny?
He's with me. We heard a shot. I couldn't keep him in the hack.
Why are you okay?
Johnny! Oh, Johnny, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's all right, boy. As long as you're safe, it's all right.
Oh, Johnny, you shouldn't have come. You'll catch your death.
Johnny's going to be all right, Miss West. We're going to see that he gets to a place that'll fix him up. Come on now, let's get back to that cabin and wait for the troopers.
Steve, I think I hear them coming.
Yes. You hear that, Chick?
Yeah, I hear it.
I'm sorry. You'll have to relearn in prison the old, old lesson. That crime is a date with a kind of death.
And so ended with the rearrest and imprisonment of Chick Malone and a suspended sentence for Violet West. Another exciting assignment in the newspaper career of Steve Wilson and Lorelei of the Illustrated Press. Now, before hearing about next week's Big Town adventure, here are Steve Wilson and Lorelei with exciting news for every woman listening.
This is Steve Wilson welcoming a brand new member of the famous Pepsodent Lever Laboratories. It's Rave, the new personalized home permanent.
Rave is the new improved cream cold wave that eliminates guesswork.
Right, Lorelei. With Rave, and only with Rave, you get the easy-to-use dial-a-wave chart, your guide to the one right wave for your kind of hair.
Women will find a Rave wave is gentler, easier, up to twice as fast as old-type home permanents. A Rave wave is long-lasting, yet softer, more natural-looking from the very first day.
Ladies, make your next permanent a personalized Rave home permanent. It has been granted the Good Housekeeping Seal and accepted for advertising in the journals of the American Medical Association. Now on sale for the first time, a complete Rave kit is only $2. Rave refill kit, $1 at all drug and cosmetic counters. Both kits contain the exclusive Dial-A-Wave chart. Next week, the makers of Lifebuoy bring you a hard-hitting story of a vicious ring of professional gamblers using bribery and murder in the world of sports, and headlined, The Fatal Fix. Another exciting assignment in the newspaper career of Fighting Steve Wilson of Big Town. Don't miss it. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional, and any similarity to other names and places is purely coincidental. Big Town features Edward Pauley as Steve Wilson, Fran Carlin as Lorelei Kilborn, and was written and produced by Jerry McGill. Next Tuesday night, same time, same station, you'll hear the exciting Big Town story of The Fatal Fix, presented by Lever Brothers Company. This is your narrator, Hugh James, bidding you good night.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
This is Richard Basehart with a welcome to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. And here's your host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood presents in person the world's greatest stars. Actors you've seen in motion pictures and heard on radio. Such famous names as Joan Crawford, Cornell Wilde, Ruth Warwick. Today, Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, brings you transcribed the romantic 20th Century Fox star, Richard Basehart. The story, The Long Way Home. Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation?
As a result, Carnation is ideal for most cream purposes. And whether you use Carnation just as it pours from the can or diluted with water, you'll find it the perfect milk for cooking. Heat-refined Carnation blends more smoothly with other ingredients, which improves the texture, consistency, and flavor of milk dishes. For your own greater convenience and economy, start using Carnation in your home. Carnation, the milk from contented cows. And now, Act One of The Long Way Home, starring Richard Basehart in the role of Stephen Wales. Curtain going up. It's the lobby of a small hotel in a small town late at night. The hotel clerk sleeps in his hard chair. It isn't the time that visitors usually arrive in Melville, but tonight a visitor does arrive.
Hello? Hello?
What? Oh, sorry. Guess I was asleep.
I guess you were.
It's kind of late. Man gets sleepy. Figuring on putting up here for the night?
I sent you where this morning, reserving a room.
That wasn't hardly necessary. We got more empty rooms we know what to do with. What's your name?
Stephen Wales.
Stephen Wales. Ain't a usual kind of name. What business you in, Mr. Wales? It's a right nice luggage you got there.
I'd like to get to my room.
Oh, sure. Of course you would this late. Let's see. 120 ought to be pleasant. I'll take your bag.
Never mind. I can carry it myself.
Yeah, I guess you can. Just staying for the one night?
I'm staying for a week.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We've been having nice weather. Drove here, did you?
That's right.
Left New York this morning, eh?
What makes you think I... Yeah, this morning.
Ever been in Melville before, Mr. Wales?
No.
Here's your room. It's just a mite dusty.
It'll be all right. Good night.
That window you're looking through gives out onto Main Street. That's Town Hall opposite.
I know.
What's that?
Nothing.
It needs a new coat of paint. Here on business, Mr. Wales?
Good night.
I said you here.
Good night.
Well, good night.
And what you'd like for breakfast?
Yeah, I have. Orange juice, hot cakes, and coffee, please.
Juice and coffee. The eggs and bacon's nice.
Yeah, maybe, but I'd rather have...
The bacon's real nice. Local product.
Yeah, I know. Jake Pfeffer's hogs.
Well, yeah, that's right. I'll get your food right away. Bacon and eggs, one order, Miss Porter. Funny thing, old man Pfeffer must be getting famous. People from right out of town are hearing about him.
That's a fine house you're looking at.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's an old house, but they built them to last in those days. Are you looking for a place to live? I live right next door. I got the keys to it. Wouldn't mind showing you through.
No, thanks. Wait. Yeah, I think I'd like to go through the house. If you don't mind.
No bother at all. Come along. House used to belong to some people named Kreider. It's been empty for quite a while. Now, here we are. Come right in.
Thanks.
Smells a little musty now. Needs airing. This is the parlor.
The parlor? Yeah, it's changed.
What?
I was just saying I hadn't realized a parlor was so small.
The kitchen's nice and large. Yeah, through here. Big pantry. You could store plenty of preserves there.
Yeah, plenty. Enough to last all winter.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, the bedrooms are upstairs. Come on up.
What happened to the Criders?
Oh, just sort of died out. They weren't a large family. Mr. and Mrs. Crider and the boy. Bedrooms right along here.
Mm-hmm. What happened to the boy?
Up and run away he did, the year his mother died. Mr. Crider wasn't a good man with children. Hard. The boy must have been around 15.
14.
This was his bedroom. Walls all full of nails. Places where a boy would hang his boots, his rifle, maybe.
Pair of ice skates?
Yeah. Funny you're mentioning that. The Crider boy was one of the finest skaters in the county. Yeah, nice room for a boy. Windows looking out over the town. The big maple close by.
And of course, there's the secret door to the attic.
And what? Oh, you mean the steps going up from that closet. Yeah, you've got sharp eyes to notice that.
Let's get out of here.
Hmm? Oh, sure. It's not a bad house. If you're thinking of buying one, settling down.
Well, I'm not exactly thinking of that. I'm going to be in town for only a short while.
Yeah, too bad. You know, talking to the Criders, I haven't even thought of them in years. I wonder whatever happened to the boy.
What do you think would happen to a kid of 14 running away from home and trying to grow up in a big city alone?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Well, we don't have to worry about him. I guess a man like that would never come back home, would he?
Well, evening, Mr. Wales.
Hello.
Been out all day, You look tired.
Yeah, I've done a lot of walking.
Well, you got all night to rest in. All night.
Now I'm checking out.
Checking out? I thought you were staying a week.
I'd forgotten how small Melville was.
Forgotten?
Well, I mean from the guidebook. I've seen all I want to see.
Well, you can see a lot in a day. It takes a mite longer to enjoy it.
I thought I'd stay for a week and rest before moving on, but I better keep moving.
All right, if you insist.
Huh? Where's Bill Foster?
Well, he ain't here, Julie.
Well, I can see that.
He was here, though. Waited about an hour for you.
Well, I was late, but... Well, he should have waited till I came. Shouldn't he?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess he should have.
Now, Julie, you know he was driving the company car. He had to get it back.
Well, how am I going to get to the dance?
Well,
Don't bother telling me it's my own fault that I was late. Just tell me how I'm going to get to Merriam Clubhouse.
You can go with your folks.
No, they've already left.
And there's always Lewis's cab.
You mean you expect me to arrive at the dance all by myself? Oh, whose car is that out in front of the hotel?
It's mine.
Oh? Well, you wouldn't happen to be going to the dance, would you?
Julie, you can't invite this gentleman to just...
You mean because we haven't been introduced? Well, why don't you introduce us, Pop?
Miss Julie Hayworth, Mr. Wales.
How do you do?
How do you do? Well, now that we've been introduced, wouldn't you like to come to the dance tonight and take me?
Julie, Mr. Wales is returning to the city tonight.
I'm sorry. I was only thinking of myself. Guess a little country dance wouldn't be very exciting for you compared to dances in the city.
Well, as a matter of fact, I practically never went to dances in the city. I'm sure your dances out here are just as much fun.
Well, they are. In a small town sort of way.
I meant what I said. If I weren't going back tonight...
Well, you can always go back tomorrow, can't you?
Julie!
Please excuse me, Mr. Wales. Every time you open your mouth, I sort of jump into it.
Well, I keep opening my mouth, don't I?
Ah, oh, Stephen, you dance so beautifully.
I dance very badly, and you know it.
Well, you do dance badly at that, but... I didn't know it when I was in your arms.
Julie.
Like I am now. I don't know anything except that... I'd like it very much if you kissed me. Please, Stephen?
Oh, now, Julie, please. Julie, I'm going away tomorrow.
You planned on staying a week. Oh, please, Stephen, stay a week.
Even if I do, a week isn't a very long time. And at the end of it, I'll go. Without any question, I'll go.
A week's an awfully long time. I should think almost anything could happen in a week.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, The Long Way Home, starring Richard Basehart, and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, here is Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake, to tell you how to deal with children's lagging appetites in hot weather.
That's more of an issue than you might think, Art. And if we could only get the children to drink their milk as readily as they go for soft drinks in warm weather, we'd have no problem.
True enough, Mary. So, what do you suggest?
I suggest iced chocolate milk, Art, a delicious drink that I find the youngsters really like. But most important, it has all the nutritious elements of good whole milk.
Iced chocolate milk, eh? Say, anything special about the way it's made?
Only that it calls for Carnation evaporated milk, Art. One large can.
Well, that's special. Double rich Carnation costs far less than bottled milk, yet it's richer in vital milk solids than your state standard for bottled milk. Even when you mix it with an equal amount of water.
And that's just what you do, Art. To make iced chocolate milk, you add an equal amount of cold water, plus a quarter cup of sweetened chocolate syrup. Stir or shake in a covered container, chill, and serve.
Now, let me go over that again, Mary. You say, combine a tall can of undiluted Carnation with an equal amount of cold water. Add a quarter cup of sweetened chocolate syrup. Stir or shake, chill, and serve. Right?
That's iced chocolate milk, Art, made the Carnation way. A very tasty and refreshing drink for the children. Smooth and rich, thanks to Carnation. And just full of nutrition. I suggest serving it for lunches as well as between meals. And generously, too, because Carnation iced chocolate milk costs very little to serve. Just pennies a glass.
Good idea, Mary, and thanks a lot. Friends, try Mary Blake's very fine suggestion for a nourishing, refreshing, and economical drink for the children when hot weather takes the edge off appetites. Iced chocolate milk, made with double-rich Carnation, the milk that whips. We return now to the second act of The Long Way Home, starring Richard Basehart in the role of Stephen Wales. Stephen Wales was a visitor to Melville, a visitor, and yet he seemed to know more about the little town than any casual visitor could possibly know. He'd just changed his plan to stay a week when he met Julie Hayworth, found himself taking her to a dance, and changed his plan again. The next evening at the amusement park...
The sun's gone down. Grass is getting wet. Are you trying to inveigle me into an advanced case of rheumatism?
Here, I'll help you to your gouty feet, Grandpa.
Well, thanks, granddaughter.
Oh, you got grass all over the back of your jacket. Here, take it off.
Okay.
Give me and I'll clean it for you. Oh, now then...
Hey, don't turn it upside down. You'll dump all my worldly goods on...
I hope you have plenty of worldly goods. Here, I'll help you gather them together. Keyring, 37 cents in very small change, and Oh.
Julie.
A steamship ticket. Steve, you're going to Europe.
Yes.
Oh, but that's so far away. Steve, are you coming back?
No.
But I love you, Steve.
You like me, Julie. Probably you find me exciting because I'm different from the people you've known all your life. I'm older than you are. And that's all it amounts to.
Who are you trying to convince, Steve? Me or yourself?
You better let me have the ticket.
And this. It's a passport, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, but it doesn't say Stephen Wales. It says Stephen Crider.
That's my real name.
Then why have you called yourself Wales?
Mm-hmm. Business reasons.
Crider. I've heard that name. Didn't there used to be Criders living here in Melville a long time ago?
Yes, my mother and father. Myself until I was 14.
Oh.
It's getting dark, Julie. Cold. We better go. Hello, pup.
Well, evening, Mr. Wales. You've been out late.
Yeah, I had a lot of walking to do, thinking.
Kind of a pity you took so long.
What do you mean?
Somebody's been waiting for you for hours.
Who?
Hello, Steve.
Julie, what are you doing?
I've stayed out terribly late. When we're married, you'll do nothing of the kind.
Julie.
Uh-oh. They just proposed to you.
You've got to go home.
Darling, at this hour of the night, I wouldn't dare go home. Unless I was engaged to be married. Oh, Steve, I always thought it would happen on the crest of a hill with a moon in the sky. And the man would be kneeling at my feet. But, oh, Steve, if you have to go to Europe, take me with you.
There'd be no life for you there.
Well, then stay here with me. There's a life for you here.
I ran away from it 20 years ago.
But you've come home again.
But I'm not what I was then.
Oh, you were only a frightened little boy then, Steve. Now you're a man, strong and clever, and I love you, and there's nothing you can't do.
I can't erase 20 years from my life.
Nobody can stop you, Steve, if you really want to stay. And...
I want to, Julie. God knows I want to.
Then you must, because... Oh, Steve, I love you so.
Juice, eggs, bacon, and coffee, huh?
Say, congratulations. Julie's a wonderful girl.
Thanks. The Melville Grapevine at work?
It's the Melville Press Courier.
The what?
Morning paper. I got it here. There's the announcement.
Local boy Stephen Crider returns home. Engaged to... formerly of New York... an AP byline. I've got to get out. Get out.
Mister, ain't you waiting for your breakfast? I guess he ain't.
Come in. I'll be through in a minute. Then you can take the bags and...
Steve!
What? I thought you were the boy for my bags.
Steve, what are you doing?
I'm packing.
Well, but why?
Because I'm getting out, fast. The newspaper here got hold of my real name. It'll make a New York paper.
Well, I did that, Steve. I told Editor Wiley.
Thanks a lot.
Steve, what are you doing?
I told you, I'm getting out. I can still make that boat to Europe
before you have to marry me?
Julie, it's no good anymore. It never really was.
I'm sorry. I was so stupid.
Julie, I love you, but I've got to go away. Julie.
I'm sorry, Steve, but I'm not a heroine in a novel or something. I can't understand what's happening. All I know is if a man loves a woman, he wants to stay with her.
If he doesn't want to stay with her, well, then...
I'll send for you later.
Will you, Steve?
No. You belong here in Melville.
And you don't. Well, I guess you had a lot of fun laughing at me.
I never laughed at you, Julie.
I suppose you have a very good reason for leaving. I suppose love isn't as important as I thought it was. Oh, I suppose I'll get over it. Get over being laughed at.
They won't laugh at you. No one will.
Of course they will, darling. A girl left at the altar is very funny. Very funny.
Julie, look at me. I'm not going.
Because you're sorry for me?
No, because I love you. Because I've come the long way home. Because you said once that anything could happen in a week. You're right. A man can live a whole lifetime in a week. You can love and be happy and grow old even in a few hours.
Your hotel, sir. Well, you know, Melville's population's growing. Look, there's a guest rocking like mad on the hotel porch.
A guest? I don't think he's really a guest, Julie.
Oh, do you know him?
He hasn't seen me.
What, Steve?
Huh? Nothing.
Oh, Steve, that dinner's going to get cold if you sit around mumbling. Mom and Pop are likely to start wondering just what kind of a man I'm marrying.
What kind of a man are you marrying, Julie?
My kind.
Your kind doesn't let people down, do they? They don't run away and hide for a few extra years of emptiness and loneliness.
Steve, what's the matter?
I always get philosophical this hour. It's a bad habit. Julie, it's been good, hasn't it?
Very good.
Neither of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow or years from now. We don't care, do we? Whatever happens, years from now or... tomorrow.
Darling, you sound so solemn.
It's just a twinge of rheumatism from the night air. Kiss, beautiful?
Right out here on Main Street?
Well, can you think of a better place?
Nope.
Now, will you get on home? Julie?
Yes?
Julie, tell your mother not to wait dinner too long for me. I might be held up for a little while.
All right. But only for a little while, Steve?
Only for a little while. Goodbye, darling.
Hiya, Kreider.
Hello, Mickey.
Boys in the mob were saying that Kreider, he wouldn't be stupid enough to let his name and address get in the papers without a reason.
They were wrong, weren't they?
Yeah. See, you was new with us. We didn't even send you out on a job yet. What'd you run out for?
Because just thinking about it made me feel dirty, that's why. I don't like to feel dirty.
And you stayed right here in this little hick town knowing you was a clay pigeon? Why?
It's none of your business.
Have anything to do with that pretty girl that just let you out of a car?
Look, why don't you do what you came up here for?
You really figure to marry her, huh?
Yeah. I did.
We had a hunch that story in the paper was a phony, a cover-up for something you was going to pull. Say... You really are a sap, aren't you?
Why?
Falling for that girl. Settling down this dead little burg. Well, I guess I made the trip for nothing.
Hmm? What do you mean by that?
Figured I'd take you back with me. You'd have gone far with us, Kreider, but if this is what you want...
It is.
Uh-huh. Well, far as we're concerned, up here you can't be a help or a menace, so... So long, sap. Give my regards to the bride.
Yeah, that's just what I'm going to do. Right now.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of The Long Way Home. This week's Stars Over Hollywood show is presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Richard Basehart. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Richard Basehart?
Sure thing, Art. Especially since it gives me a chance to say how much fun it's been appearing on Stars Over Hollywood. I really enjoyed it.
No more than we have, Dick. You gave us a swell performance, and we're grateful to you. By the way, how's that 8-month-old boy of yours coming along?
Jack? He's fine. He's getting to be a real rugged fellow.
Like his dad, eh? Well, you know, that's why we make such a big thing of telling folks with new babies about Carnation evaporated milk. Carnation gets them off to such a fine start. Those important milk minerals plus vitamin D really do a job of building rugged bodies and developing sound teeth. Parents always appreciate the safety of Carnation, too. Carnation is not only pasteurized, you know, it's also sterilized after the can is sealed. And say, babies' delicate systems appreciate Carnation, too. It's so easy to digest. All in all, it's not surprising that 8 out of 10 mothers who use Carnation say their doctor recommended it. Carnation, remember, is the milk every doctor knows. And now, Dick, for giving us such fine entertainment today, here's something we want you to have to take home to your lovely wife. This bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk.
Well, thanks a lot, Ida. It's very kind. Incidentally, I hear you got a great show planned for next week.
Our star on next Saturday's Stars Over Hollywood show will be Ruth Warwick.
Oh, that's wonderful. What kind of a play is she doing?
Well, it's a story of a mother who tells her young son about Goldilocks and the Three Bears, only in a very modern version. It's called Bedtime Story.
Mm, it's an intriguing idea. I'll be sure to listen. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Dick. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood was written by Louis Vittes. Supporting Richard Basehart were Virginia Eiler, Jack Crucian, Ruth Parrott, and Fred Howard. Music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey, and the program was directed and transcribed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday and hear the world's greatest motion picture stars in person on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we are proud to present Ruth Warwick in Bedtime Story. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Richard Basehart appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of the Technicolor production Lydia Bailey, starring Dale Robertson and Anne Francis. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed our selections this time. Come back next Tuesday for another episode. In between now and then, you can find more from this podcast, all the other shows, more from Big Town, Stars Over Hollywood, and everything else Relic Radio at the website, relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is available there, and you can donate if you'd like to through the website. Your support makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.